This is Brian Kinsey. I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola, and I'm delighted that you're listening to our podcast, and I hope it is a blessing to your life. Please send us an email at firstpent.org if you have a prayer request or would like a Bible study. Thank you for listening.
Praise God. Clap your hands unto Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you glory, God. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord that is here. Bishop, thank you so much. You're in the Holy Ghost. You are in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Not too terribly long ago, I'm gonna find it because I just want to share this with you. And this just confirms for me so many things. Forgive me as I look at my phone here. But we have received a handful of prophetic words confirming this very thing. I want you to know, somebody text me and said, the seeds for apostolic revival were planted long before you got there. There will be opposition, but you will destroy that through the Holy Ghost, and you will reap the harvest from those seeds. Someone else sent me a prophetic word and said, no one knows but God the capacity of the seed. It is incalculable to the human eye. The potential is difficult to grasp, but when the seed is put in the right atmosphere, together the seed and the soil will work to release what is within. The parable of the sower and the seed tells what happens when the seed isn't in the right atmosphere. Capacity is limited. There is so much capacity in the seed of your family and ministry, and you are in good soil right now. Praise God. I could go on and on and on. I will not. I am so thankful that I feel right at home, and I believe this is a divine appointment. I want you, the Lord has spoken to me very clearly. Supernatural things are going to happen today. Praise God. They declared it earlier, but if you need a miracle, I want you to know you can have that right here and right now. Do I have anybody that knows He's a miracle worker? Do I have anybody that knows He's a way maker? He's a deliverer and a restorer. He's a healer. Praise God. Praise God. Open up your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Timothy. It is such a delight and an honor and a privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit. I mentioned to Pastor Stafford last night, I said, man, help me. I don't want to fan out, you know. I said, Brother Kinsey has ministered to my wife and I. We were young people, and I can remember there's just a couple of people. I was standing over here, and he started walking to me. I was having what I call a Mickey Mangan moment, because I remember when I went to my first, because of the times, my wife didn't go with me, and Mickey Mangan was about maybe 10 feet from me, and I was like, I called my wife. I said, Sarah, I was like, I'm about 10 feet from Mickey Mangan. I was like, I just don't want to pass out. She might look at me. And I was over there, and Brother Kinsey looked at me, and I thought, stop smiling. I was like this. I was like, just get the smile off your face. Get the smile. Act human, praise God. Act normal. It's an honor, Bishop, to be able to stand here. Love you, appreciate you, have so much respect for you. You all are not just blessed, you're spoiled. Praise God. Appreciate the Staffords. They're good friends, and I'm thankful for everybody who had a hand in my being here, and glad my family's able to be here with me as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. Praise God, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach this thought to you this morning as I feel led of the Holy Ghost. Supernatural power. Supernatural power. Would you help me pray? Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for your power that's in this place. We thank you for your spirit that's in this place. God, I want you to have your way. Anoint me with the type of anointing that makes ministry effective. We'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Hallelujah. If that's your best, I'll leave you alone. But if you know he's worthy of that and a little bit more, open up your mouth and give God the glory. Somebody clap your hands and make his praise glorious. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want you to know that the world is very curious about the supernatural. If you look at what's happening in our world of Hollywood, everything is about the supernatural. People are watching shows like The Walking Dead, and they're fascinated by comic book characters, if you will, that have all types of abilities. People are interested in people that have power, and in particular, they're interested in the supernatural. The world is looking for answers everywhere you go. You don't have to look far. You don't have to be living under a rock to realize that this world is hungry and desperate for something real. Can I tell you, they're looking to entertainment and they're not finding the answers. They're looking to Superman and Wonder Woman and they're still leaving bankrupt. But can I tell you, I'm thankful to be a part of a church that has the answer. I'm thankful to be a part of a church where the power of God is alive and well. I'm thankful to be a part of a church where his spirit is moving. I'm thankful to know that we have the answer, and his name is Jesus. If you believe that, clap your hands. The world is desperate. They're starving. They're hungry for an answer. They're looking everywhere. They want something that's real. They want something that's real, and the church, we have an obligation to give it to them. Now, can I just tell you, we tell our folks at home, we're a young church plant, God is moving. As a matter of fact, I tell our people, we're the fastest growing church in Canada. And we are. God is moving. God is doing great things, and I give him the glory for what he's doing. But can I tell you, if we're talking about them wanting something real, the church needs to be real. We don't have time for any phonies. Don't worry, I'm going to get on the plane to Canada tomorrow. Praise God. We don't have time for any phonies. In other words, we don't have time for people who are Pharisees. I tell my people back home, no perfect people are allowed. If you find the perfect church, don't go join it because you'll ruin it. This is the place. This is the place for drug addicts. This is the place for prostitutes. This is the place for the incarcerated. This is the place for the educated and the uneducated. This is the place for the single mother. This is the place for the doctor and the lawyer. The church is the place for everybody. We need to be real. We don't have time to fake it all and look spiritual. You know how those people do. They know how to clap when it's the right time to clap. They'll just, ooh, he's so good. But they'll say things like, honey, it don't take all that to praise him. I'm just going to clap my hands. They look good. They got the right speech and can say all the right things. But Jesus said they're full of dead man's bones. Can talk the religious talk and can say the right things and can even quote the scriptures, but no power. Those are the people that are distracted by everything else. You know those people that talk all about politics all the time and get distracted. Can I just help y'all? Be seated for a moment. Talking about being real. Don't let the things of this world distract you. I thought I'd get a better amen than that. Don't let the things of this world distract you. Can I just make it plain for a second? Let me help you out. The church is arguing over whether or not people matter. Black lives matter. White lives matter. Brown lives matter. Blue lives matter. Last I checked, if he died for him, baby, everybody matters. Republican lives matter. Democrat lives matter. Independent lives matter. Broke lives matter. Rich lives matter. As a matter of fact, homosexual lives matter. Transgender lives matter. Heterosexual. Everybody matters. And there's room for them here. Only a supernatural power like the Spirit of God can transcend politics, transcend economics, transcend race. I'm telling you, we need the supernatural power of God. So Paul, be seated. Paul does something that we all need to do. Paul is quick to tell his story. Can I tell you, the Bible says that we overcome. Somebody knows it. Praise God. By the blood of the Lamb. See, it's nothing but the blood of the Lamb that you hear right now. You look real good. Got your suit on. But boy, if we could just do a quick flashback. It has nothing to do with your education. It's got nothing to do with the people you think you know. Honey, I know you don't got dirt under your fingernails any longer, but it ain't nothing but the blood of the Lamb that washed you. It ain't nothing but the blood of the Lamb that reached down and picked you up out of your mess. It ain't nothing but the blood. Is anybody thankful for the blood today? The blood that will reach down and wash you clean of your filthiness, of your sin, of your dilemma, of your problem. It ain't nothing but the blood. It's the blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. Don't you ever get too cute where you forget where God brought you from. Don't you ever get too sophisticated with your praise that you forget where he delivered you from. I know you might have been in this 20 years or 30 years, and you know what, you can't even remember what it's like to be lost, but can I tell you, there was a day where everybody else had given up on you. Nobody thought you would make it, but God said, give them to me. Let me get a hold of their life. Be seated. It's the blood. Something else that's so important is, don't forget your testimony. Don't you forget to tell your story. See, oftentimes if we become disconnected from what God has done in our lives, you know what we do? We tend to forget what God has done. It's what I call spiritual amnesia. Spiritual amnesia looks like this. You know, somebody will come out of a car wreck and they'll be complaining, oh man, I got this hospital bill. And you forget he brought you out of the hospital. You'd be like, oh, man, my car is totaled. But he brought you out that car wreck. Don't you develop spiritual amnesia on God. You better be quick to tell your story. See, people want to know that this Jesus we preach is real. Before I received the Spirit, see, nobody gave me any clue, Bishop. I knew nothing. I didn't grow up in church. And so, boy, when I tell you I tried everything. And I tried everything because I was searching. My world was broken and confused. And I was like, there has to be an answer. You know what? My dad got locked up when I was 11. And the authority said he was running one of the largest drug operations on the East Coast. He had to serve a mandatory minimum of 15 years. We went from living in a very affluent neighborhood to really what I call, back in the day, we called a government cheese. Y'all don't know anything about that. Get that big block of cheese. You don't know anything about it. Praise God. That cheese, you could leave it out for 2 weeks and it wouldn't have any mold on it. You could put it in the microwave for 10 minutes and it still wouldn't melt. But boy, that government cheese. Anyway, praise God. You know what? I was broken. I was confused. I was angry at all get out. I can remember my mom. She went from not working, having to work three jobs to make it all happen. And I was 11, having all of a sudden be kind of the pseudo man of the house, if you will. And I had all of this responsibility thrusted on me. And I thought to myself, I'm angry at everybody. You did not want to look at me. Because I was that dude that I'd be like, what you looking at? I was that cat. I was like, I wanted you to step on my shoes. Not really, because I wanted my shoes to be clean. Yeah. Because it took me everything I had to just get one pair of Jordans, praise God. But if you stepped on my shoes, it was going to be a problem. I was angry at everybody, and I had tried so many things, and it left me broken. It left me empty. I had tried, and I found myself trying to run from my past. I found myself being haunted by things, and even given the thought of taking my life. I can remember one night after trying astral projection and trying meditation and trying transcendentalism, trying all of these different things, and feeling like I was being sucked into a dark black hole. I actually had the thought, I should kill myself. I should kill myself. I just had the thought. Doesn't mean that I was going to act upon it, but I had that thought. And then somebody knocked on my door within a few moments of that. This guy, I didn't answer the door, but I knew his voice. He looked like Andre Agassi when Andre Agassi had hair. And he played tennis. And I remember him knocking on my door saying, Akil, don't do what you thought about doing. And I thought, well, that's weird. So later he invited me to church. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to church with you. And you know what? When I went to church, I dropped him. I went to the parking lot. He was like, come on. I was like, I'll be in a minute. He got out. I took off. I was like, I'm not going to church. Then I finally got to the point where I said, you know what? I've tried everything else. I might as well give Jesus a try. So I remember, now, y'all got it good. Praise God. Because when I went to the church, can I just be transparent? I went with about 30 people, right? And they were all white. And the first thing that came to my mind, I hadn't been to church. I thought to myself, these white people crazy. Now, praise God. I love everybody. I'm married to a white woman, praise God. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what color you are. I really don't. I don't, and I wasn't raised to think anything about color. But that's just the first thing that came to mind. Honestly, I was shocked because I thought to myself, you know, I didn't know white people could have church like that. I was like, man, these people, we called it back in the day because my grandmother would go to church. I called it getting happy, you know. I was like, man, these white people know how to get happy. I said, they're crazy. And so this guy was just preaching. He was yelling. Face was red. And I thought, the moment this man gets done yelling, I'm out. I said, I'm going to walk right, because my buddy was on the front row. See, I love people that like the front row, praise God. He was on the front row, right? And he was just worshiping, and I was looking at him staring. Like, man, what is this guy doing? It was like I wasn't even there. He just jumping up and down, and I'm like in his face, and he's not even looking at me. And I thought, man, this is wild. I said, I'm going to leave. So the man got done, and instead of leaving, you know what I did? I done walk right to the front. So I said, I'm going to get as far away from those crazy people as I can. So I went over here. Nobody told me anything. I didn't know. If you would have said, hey, would you like to come to a Pentecostal church? I'd have been like, well, what kind of church is that? I wouldn't have known it. I'm pretty sure if I said the name Jesus, it wasn't with affection. I don't think I ever said hallelujah before in my life. And so I walk up to the front. This is how I'm trying to tell you. When God does a work, he doesn't make it difficult for you. See, he'll meet you right where you are. And God's already dealing with many of you right now. Some of you are thinking, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? I'm going to tell you it's supernatural power. It's his spirit that's leading you. So watch. I was just like this. I just walked up to the front. Didn't even take but a couple of steps, because I was already at the front row. And by the way, the first step is always the toughest. But when you make the first step, he'll come to you too. So I took a couple steps, and the only thing that came out of my mouth was, I'm sorry. That's it. All of a sudden, tears began to stream down my face. And now, I was hard. At least I thought I was. You know, I'd gone to church, and you know, I didn't know. I was so raw. All y'all look good. I came into church. I had a day. My former pastor, church I grew up in, he used to tease me. He said, man, you came in, tattoos showing, and tankless T-shirt on. You know, back in the day, we called them wife beaters. I won't marry it, and you shouldn't lay hands on your wife, praise God. But that's what I was wearing. He was like, man, you know, you had the chains on. And I was like this. I was crying. I was like, man, I can't cry too much. Even when I was crying, I was thinking to myself, just flex your muscles so they know you. I was like, just in case somebody think you soft. That's what was going through my mind. That's how shallow I was. I was like, I just don't want to think you soft. And next thing I know, after I said, I'm sorry, I realized now that my sins were an affront to a holy God. See, the Bible says that we have all sinned. All. I'm looking at every single one of you. All of you have sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. As a matter of fact, he says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. It's like that rag nobody wants to touch. And you're like, oh, let's just take this and throw this out. That's what our righteousness is, in light to his holiness. So I said, I'm sorry, and I began to cry. And the next thing, I felt like the Lord spoke to me. And he said, all you have to do is let me in. It was that easy. I felt all of it. I was like this. Well, how can I say no? You know how you go to the doctor and they test your reflexes? I'm that guy that I don't want to respond, right? So they'll just keep hitting and they'll finally hit that nerve. And it's just like, and I'm like, oh, man. When the Lord asked me that, that's how I felt. Like I thought to myself, how can I say no? And immediately, I felt this love and this joy and this peace on the outside. And what I wanted to do is fall out. But instead, you know what? I was like, man, I'm going to take a knee. Oh, man, I was like, thank you, Jesus. I know I never said thank you, Jesus, before. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then, the next thing you know, I was like, man, I felt this love and this joy and this peace. I was like, hallelujah. I had never raised my hands before. Nobody told me anything. I'm just like, hallelujah. And I was like, you know, I wanted to fall out, right? I was like, don't fall out. Because I felt this love and this joy and this peace begin to fill me up on the inside. And I was like this. Nobody told me. I just started lifting my hands. And the very thing I told myself not to do, I was out like this. Look, I'm out. I feel the power of God. And the next thing I know, God's spirit he's filling me up. And I'm saying things like, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And before I know it, I start speaking in this language I had never spoken in before. And I was like, man, this is the best feeling I have ever had in my life. I was like, what is this? What is happening? God filled me with the Holy Ghost over 20 years ago, and he revolutionized my life. We need supernatural power in this world. Can I tell you? This is what Paul is talking about. And here's what I want you to understand. He's telling everybody, look, I wasn't rehabilitated. I wasn't re-educated. I wasn't reformed. I was recreated. I was born again. Is there anybody that's glad they've been born again? Filled with his spirit. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This power was so real. After I received it, and I was gone for like 45 minutes. You know, people say things, be seated, they say things like, oh, man, you know, people get happy and they run around. They're like, oh, if you don't know, they say things like, oh, he catching a ghost. You don't catch it. You know, once you're filled with the spirit, it abides in you. It's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That's what Paul said. So when you receive the spirit, the Bible says that you receive power. Power. I didn't know any of the scriptures. Everybody was so excited afterwards. I remember they were coming up to me. They were like, hey, you received the Holy Ghost. I was like, don't touch me. Because I was looking out for their benefit. I promise you, I got a church mama. She'll tell you, we laugh about it all the time. Debbie Fuller was her name. She was like, baby, come here. I was like, don't touch me. Because I thought if she touched me, I might knock her back 25 feet. Just for her touch, because I felt such power. I thought I might do some Bruce Lee, like, boom. Yeah, anyway. I was like, can I tell you, when you receive the Holy Spirit, listen, I didn't want to smile at all. Matter of fact, beforehand, I walked around like this. After I got the Holy Ghost, I was like, I couldn't stop cheesing. I walked in the house. My mom will tell you, I gave her Hades. Everybody in my family will. I walked in the house that day when I received the Spirit. My mom was cooking on the stove, cooking some collard greens. Don't y'all act like you know what I'm talking about. Because if you do, all I'm going to say is I need some proof. If you think you know what I'm talking about, I need some proof. Don't play with me. Don't play with me. She was cooking some collard greens and doing I took two steps in that house. I'm not exaggerating. It was small anyway, because you're like, well, I went from the front door of that townhouse. I was in the kitchen and maybe two or three steps. She just turned around and said, what happened to you? She could see it. The Holy Ghost changes everything. I said, the Holy Ghost changes everything. It'll change your attitude. It'll change your mind. It'll change your smile. It'll change your outlook on life. It'll change your purpose. It'll change your vision. It'll change your agenda. The Holy Ghost changes everything. And today God is eager. God is eager to fill everybody with His Spirit. You know what? I know people in our church. I've seen Catholics receive the Holy Spirit. I've seen Muslims. I've got Hindus in our church that have received the Spirit. People all over Caribbean, it makes no difference. The Holy Ghost is for young, old. I know people who are like, man, I've been in church all my life. And I didn't even know that I could receive the Holy Spirit. And they're like, now that I got it, I'm telling everybody. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. God wants everybody. Look at your neighbor, tell them the Holy Spirit's for you. Look at your other neighbor and say, you too. I'm telling you right now, it's because I didn't know. I can show you in the Bible. Let me show you really quickly. Let me show you how simple it is, right? So what's fascinating about Paul is as he's telling his testimony to Timothy, and he's kind of sharing his story. And if you know anything about Paul was a zealot, but not in the affectionate way that you would think before he knew the Lord. Paul used to be called Saul. And Saul was a murderer. I'm not trying to sanitize it. I mean, he would be considered modern-day ISIS. If he found out you were a believer, he would snatch you up, separate you from your family, drag you to the high priest, watch your assassination, and be like, I need you to sign more papers because I'm going to go to Damascus and kill every single one of them. That's what he said. That's why he's telling his story. He's like, in every epistle, he tells his story in a way that that's why you've got to tell people your story. People, look, I just had somebody else message me on Facebook today. They're like, man, I can't believe it. You? They're like, look at what God is doing in your life. I was like, yeah. I was like, girl, I have to tell you. It's crazy. I said, look, next time my family and I back in Richmond, I said, I want to meet with you. I want to tell you about what God has done in my life. But can I tell you, this was Saul. He had done all kinds of things that you can think of that were unimaginable. And God revolutionized his life, turned his world around so much so, he put fear in everybody that when the disciples had heard about it, they're like, oh, not that man. That I don't believe it, and plus I'm afraid of him. Barnabas had to stand up and say, no, let me show you. It's real. It's real. So I'm here to tell you it's real. And it's easy. Watch this. It's so easy, you can't mess it up. It's so easy, you can't get it wrong. Let me show you. It's so easy, he died and rose again to make it easy for you. Acts chapter 2, he says, verse 38, watch this. They're going to show you on the screen. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter says unto them, repent. Repent. In other words, you're just asking God, in as much as you're able, you're saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And in as much as I'm able, I'm going to live for you. That's it. That's it. You're not going to be perfect. Can I help you out right now? You're going to make a mistake next week. You might make a mistake tonight. But guess what? God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He won't run out on you like your daddy did or like your lover did. God will be there and do what he said he's going to do when he said he's going to do it. He is faithful. You can't even get your mind around how much he loves you, how much he's... But I'm going to hurry. I'm going to hurry. He says, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you. Like, it's pretty simple. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, do you know what happens? You become married with him. You put on his name. You're buried. It's kind of like, you know what? When you all swim, right? You know what? When you swim and you go underwater, what do? You hold your breath. Hopefully you do. Because if you don't, we might have a different result. But it's symbolic of you being buried. And then you're raised to newness of life. And then he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive it. So it's so easy. Like if I walked around, I was like, hey, man, I got a brand new Jag. You want it? Here's the keys. Boop. He gone. I don't know anybody that would be like, oh, don't give me that. Oh, I don't want it. No, no, no. God's got a gift. All you have to do is receive it. So how do you receive a gift? When somebody gives you a gift, usually you say, thank you. I'm really excited about this gift. I'm going to enjoy this gift. This gift means a lot to me. He died. That's all you have to do. We're going to repent. And guess what? For me, you'll notice I received the Spirit before I was baptized. And then guess what? When I walked in that house that day, my brother and sister were like, they did just like my mom. They were like, what happened to you? Do you realize that next Sunday, my brother and sister were so moved by what happened to me, the next Sunday we all got baptized together in Jesus' name. That Sunday they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Later, we baptized my mom in Jesus' name, and she received the Spirit. Do you realize my dad received the Holy Ghost while he was in jail? The Holy Ghost will meet you right where you are, wherever you are, who, no matter who you are, right here and right now. I want us all to stand. Now, I feel led to declare this. I feel strong in the Holy Ghost. I rarely ever do this, but I want to encourage you to come back tonight because miracles are going to happen. Let me tell you why. So oftentimes when we come to church, we don't plan for the supernatural, but we need to plan for the supernatural. Jesus told his disciples, he said, hey, you have to come. So you don't plan according. I don't plan according to time. I believe I'm going to receive that 2,000 soul harvest according to faith. I plan according to faith. I don't plan according to time. I believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? You plan according to faith, not time. He ran into the disciples, and they were mending their nets. He had a conversation with them. They kicked out a little bit. He taught. He said, cast your nets. Peter was like, well, he's like, we've been fishing all day. This ain't gonna work. But you said it, I'll do it. And he cast down a net. Singular. He didn't plan for the supernatural. So the net that they had began to break. But if he had planned for the supernatural, I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost and what the Lord sent me here. I'm telling you right now, the Word of God has been planted. I have not been around a church community in a while where I have felt like you are saturated in purpose. Hear me. Bishop, there is a massive sending that is going to begin to happen. It may have already been happening, and I could just be ignorant of it and not articulating it right in what I feel in the spirit. But there is a sending that is going to happen. This church is going to affect the world. And it's going to be because of a supernatural epicenter that's going to ripple throughout. Praise God. I believe that in Jesus' name. So I want you to come tonight. I feel it in particularly in the area of finances and healing. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. If you believe it, you'll get it. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, guess what? You can't mess it up. And today is your day. If you've been struggling and you're like, man, I had that experience and it was awesome. And I messed up a couple times and felt bad and didn't do what I shouldn't, didn't repent like I wanted to, and let the devil beat me up. And man, I just want to be back. I want to be in. I feel it. I'm all in. I'm ready to go after Jesus. I just want to feel clean again. I want to be renewed in his spirit. I want you to know God wants to do that for you today too. Right here and right now. So here's what I'd like to do. We have a prayer team. We have a prayer team. People that are gifted with the area of praying with people. They're going to love you. They might put their hand on your shoulder and encourage you. These people are going to be able to come. I want all of the people that are part of our prayer team. I want y'all to begin to come up. Praise God. These are some amazing people. I'm thankful for people who know how to pray. Come on and spread across. Beautiful, beautiful. Spread all across here. Come on, that's it. Come on this way. Praise God. Beautiful. Now, do you know what? I was broken. As a matter of fact, I didn't even get a chance to tell you my whole story. I was so broken, I dropped out of high school. I only had 3 months left, and I was supposed to go to the University of Virginia. You know what I did? I walked right in to my trigonometry teacher, Mr. Jenkins. I was like, I'm done. And the only thing he said was, another one bites the dust. Walked right out. I was hopeless. But when God filled me with his spirit, went back to school and went on to college, and God revolutionized my life. I'm telling you, God turned my world upside down. He frankly turned it right side up. But God wants to meet you today. I don't even have time to unpack how broken I was and hurting I was. Because frankly, I ain't shared all that with my kids yet. So, you know what? They got to hear it first, and then I'll let you hear it. But God met me right where I was. And today, God is here to meet some of you. And just like Paul told us, I was an insolent man. I was injurious. But I did these things ignorantly in unbelief. But God, who was rich in mercy, praise God, in faith and in grace. Can I tell you, God is rich in love, rich in mercy and grace. He's here for everybody. So today we're going to start singing in just a few moments. Even if you need prayer in another area, you might feel like, you know what, man, I want to pray for somebody in my family, or I want God to move in my school, whatever it may be. I want you to know that this altar is now open, and I want to invite you to come and pray. I want to walk you through a couple of steps, and it's pretty easy. If you've never received the Spirit before, or you want to be renewed, come. That's beautiful. If you have prayer for another need, I want you to come. That's beautiful. Everybody's coming, all ages, all races. Look at that. Beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. People are still coming. That's beautiful. Hey, Bubba. How you doing, man? Praise God. This is beautiful. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. And God's doing it. Here's what we're going to do. This is beautiful. We're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Now, let me tell you what you have to do. You have to speak to God. You have to open up your mouth and speak to Him. Okay? You know what? When we talk about tongues, people might think, oh, that's spooky pooky. No, I'm speaking to you in tongues right now. It's just the tongue that you understand. Okay? He will fill you, and His Spirit will begin to speak through you. It's a heavenly language. And so as He gives the utterance, but you have to begin to talk to God. So what we're going to do is we're all going to repent. But when we begin to repent, we have to begin to talk to God. Now, some of you might not have come to the altar, but guess what? Your altar might be where you are, because God's going to meet you right there. I feel that for somebody. The Lord showed me your face. I'm not going to call you out, but I know who you are. You're going to begin to repent right there, too. God's going to renew you. You've been haunted by the past of your mistakes. You've been suffocating silently. I'm prophesying to you, but today is your day. You've been wanting to feel His Spirit again. He knows the language of the tears you've been crying. God is going to renew you today in the Holy Ghost. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to begin to repent. I want everybody, just to begin to tell God you're sorry in your own way. It doesn't have to be long, and it doesn't have to be elaborate. But you just begin to tell God. You don't have to itemize everything you've ever done. You just begin to tell Him, God, I'm sorry. Father, I am sorry. I'm selfish, and I want you to forgive me. I've been angry, God, and I don't handle that anger well. Forgive me, God. I've been relying on other things. I've been trying things like alcohol or drugs. Promiscuity, Lord. I've tried all of these things, and it's left me empty, God. I recognize that I'm bankrupt without you, and I need a Savior. I need you, Lord God. Forgive me, Lord God. Forgive me for harboring anger. Forgive me for being selfish, God. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. And renew within me a right spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to look at me. I want you to look at me. This is important. No matter what you've done, no matter what you have done, no matter what you have done, you have just been forgiven. There is no sin, there is no mistake that is greater than Calvary. There is no mistake greater than Calvary. Now, all we have to do is to receive the gift. So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to lift our hands all over this house. And you're just going to begin to thank God. Thank Him for receiving the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for His love. Our prayer team is going to begin to pray with you. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. And you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're going to begin to speak in other tongues. Don't worry about how it sounds. You can't mess it up. Many of you are going to be renewed. Are you ready? I see it all over you. By the authority of the Word of God and the matchless power that resides in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray right now for everyone under the sound of my voice. Receive ye the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
We hope that you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, please subscribe so you don't miss another message. Please connect with us. If you have any questions, we would be delighted to hear from you. And we can be found at firstpent.org. That is FIRSTPENT.org. And we certainly hope that you will visit us soon. Be blessed in Jesus' name.